Hare Krishna, everyone. So we're discussing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. And today I'll share with you something very beautiful from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In particular, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his meeting with a very great personality from whom he extracted the essence of the essence of the essence of all wisdom, knowledge, and truths about Krishna. And as I'm speaking, if you have any questions, then please do put those questions on the chat, or please do save them in your memory, and then we can have a nice discussion at the end. And perhaps I leave more time for discussion. So please do think about what comments and thoughts come up in your mind as we discuss this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very special. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji says that when you go to one land, one kingdom, then you should not glorify any other king in a different kingdom. When you go to one kingdom, then you glorify the king who is the king in that kingdom. And therefore, as a completely sold out Gaura Bhakta, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji says, we are in Kali Yuga. We are in the kingdom of Kali Yuga. And therefore, no one should be glorified except Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy. He says like that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is our hope. Gauranga is our great hope. Gauranga comes from the highest position, Sri Krishna, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, the personality from whom everything emanates, Sarva Karana Karanam, Krishna. The highest person in the entirety of creation, when he comes as Gauranga, he comes from the highest position and he comes to the lowest position. He takes the position of becoming a devotee. Mata bhakta bhav kori angikar apani achari bhakti kori la prachar. Mata bhakta bhav. Krishna, who's the highest, takes the most humble position of coming in the bhakta bhav, the mood of a devotee. When the Lord comes as Gauranga, he comes from the highest planet, Goloka Vrindavan, the transcendent reality. And he comes from the highest planet and he comes down to the material world, the lowest place in the lowest time, Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga in the material world. I can't get any lower than that. When the Lord comes as Gauranga, he gives the highest gift, the most confidential thing, Prema Ras, the confidential love, which practically no theology in the world reveals. He brings the highest thing and he brings it down and gives it to the lowest people. Patita pavana hetu tavayavatar mosama patita prabhu napai bear. Narottam Das sings, he says, you are the deliverer of the most fallen and I'm the most fallen. My claim is first. And when Gauranga comes to this world, then the highest to the lowest individuals all receive the mercy. So if you want to sum up Gauranga in three words, highest to the lowest. He comes from the highest planet to the lowest. He comes from the highest position to the lowest position. He brings the highest thing and gives it to the lowest people. And when he comes to this world, the highest to the lowest, everyone is given an opportunity to take advantage. Therefore, Gauranga is known as Karuna Avatar. He is the incarnation of mercy. An incarnation of mercy. Every incarnation is merciful. But Gauranga is an incarnation of mercy, Karuna Avatar. And in Sanskrit, there are different words for mercy. Daya is one word. Kripa is another word. Karuna is another word. And Karuna is a very special type of mercy. Daya and Kripa are types of mercy that one must earn, one must ask for. Therefore, we go to the Guru and we say, Gurudev, Kripa Bindu Diya, Goroye Dase, oh Gurudev, give me one drop of your mercy. We have to beg for that mercy. Karuna is the type of mercy which is bestowed upon an individual even when they don't ask for it. Gauranga and Gauranga's devotees give a lot of karuna. In your life, you may have also received some karuna. You get a lot of mercy even when you don't ask for it. Sometimes we give the example that when you're in Mayapur, if you want to get the mercy of Ganga, then you have to go out of your room, you have to take your gamsha and go to the ghat and then bathe in the Ganga. However, there's a time of year when the Ganga overflows and Mayapur floods. Maybe some of you have been to Mayapur when it's been flooded. You have to swim to Mangalarti. Sometimes there are also snakes swimming with you. Don't worry, they're not dangerous. When the land of Mayapur floods, then you don't even have to get out of your room and go to the Ganga to get the mercy. Even from your bed, the mercy is coming in, is coming into your room, is flooding your room. This is Gauranga. Patra patra vichar nahi nahi stan stan je jane paye tane kare prema dhan. He never considered this is a good place, this is a bad place, this is a qualified person, this is not qualified. Je jane paye tane kare prema dhan. He just gave to everyone. And so, Gauranga is very, very important for us because we are weak. We are weak in our spiritual life. If we're honest, then there are days when we're inspired, and there are days when we are not. There are days when we're able to follow all of our sadhana practices, and there are days when we slip from our practices. There are days when we have great interactions with devotees, and there are days when we'd rather not see the devotees because we got into an argument with them. We are having so many ups and downs in our spiritual life because our bhajan, our spiritual practice, is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur calls anisthita, unsteady. We are in anisthita bhakti, unsteady devotional service. And therefore, every single day we are coming face to face with our own weaknesses. So then sometimes we think, how will I make it? How will I become a pure devotee? How will I reach Goloka? How will I awaken prema for Krishna? So many years I've been practicing spiritual life, but still the same problem, still envious, still finding faults, still lust, anger, greed, pride, so many things. Our hope is Gauranga. Gauranga is more merciful than Krishna. Krishna said, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tamstateva bhajamyaham. If you surrender, I'll reward you accordingly. But Gauranga, he is going everywhere, and he is just as soon as there is some indication that someone has interest, then he gives a special, special mercy. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very important to us. And today, what I want to reveal or share with all of you is a dimension of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that many may not know about or many may not 100% appreciate. Whenever you read in books, academic books, encyclopedias about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, about Gauranga, then generally the definition is given that he was a great saint, a great bhakti saint in India in the 1500s. Now, there's two problems. Most people in the world only know of Gauranga as a bhakti saint. The one thing that they don't know is that Gauranga is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but coming in a disguised form of a devotee. So that's the first thing that people don't know. But the second thing that people are not aware of is that not Mahaprabhu Gauranga was not just a great bhakti saint, but Mahaprabhu was also the greatest philosophical teacher in creation. If you look at Mahaprabhu's life, then philosophically, he did everything. The first thing that Mahaprabhu did is that philosophically, he spoke to many, many different religions. And he demonstrated that Gaudiya Vaishnavism is the highest. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, then you'll see Gauranga spoke to Buddhists. Gauranga, on many occasions, spoke to Muslims. He spoke to the Chand Qazi, to the Patans in Vrindavan, many Muslims, many Buddhists. Later on, his followers spoke to many Christians also. And through his philosophical dialogues, Gauranga, as the greatest philosopher, revealed that Sanatan Dharma and the philosophy it reveals is the highest. Not only did Mahaprabhu speak to different religions, but Mahaprabhu also spoke to the Mayavadis. The Mayavadis are the most stubborn, the most difficult to change. But what did Gauranga do? He spoke to them and he converted even them. Prakashananda Saraswati, who had 60,000 sannyasi disciples in Varanasi, which was the headquarters of the Mayavadis, and Mahaprabhu came there and converted Prakashananda Saraswati. Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri. And he converted Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was the chief, the most respected scholar and logician in that part of India. You may or may not know, but Gauranga received his name Mahaprabhu after converting Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Because Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was such a great philosopher, logician, knower of Sanskrit, knower of Vedanta, that he was known all over as Prabhu, the master. But Gauranga defeated even Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, and therefore, because he defeated Sarvabhauma, the Prabhu, Gauranga became known as Mahaprabhu. Not only did Gauranga as a philosopher speak to all the religions, not only did he speak to the Mayavadis, but Gauranga also spoke to all the different Vaishnava Sampradayas. Gauranga met with the Tattvavadis, who were the followers of Madhvacharya, and he discussed Gaudiya philosophy with them. Gauranga met with the Sri Vaishnavas, the followers of Ramanujacharya. He went to Sri Rangam and there he had a discussion with Vyankatabhata. And he established that Krishna and Vishnu, in one sense, are non-different, but Krishna is Siddhanta Tastvabedi Shrisha Krishna Swarupayo. Rasenot Krishyate Krishna Rupam Esha Rasastiti. To the Sri Vaishnavas, Gauranga said, Vishnu and Krishna, in Siddhanta, they're the same. Dvabhedepi, there's no difference. However, there is a difference in rasa, in character, in qualities. And so Gauranga spoke to different Vaishnava Sampradayas. Gauranga spoke to Vallabhacharya of the Pushti Marg, and convinced him of many things. Not only that, but Mahaprabhu also spoke to his devotees. those who are practicing Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and what Gauranga did is he revealed to those devotees the deepest truths about Krishna, Radharani, and the affairs which are going on in the spiritual world. Therefore, he empowered Rupa Goswami with all of this knowledge. And Rupa became known as the Rasacharya, the teacher who knew all the truths of divine mellows. So can you see now that many people don't know about Mahaprabhu as a great philosopher? He spoke to all the religions. He spoke to the Mayavadis. He spoke to all the Sampradayas. And then he spoke the deepest truths of rasa to his own devotees. But there's one more thing that makes Mahaprabhu an even greater philosopher. Not only do all of this, but he also empowered his own devotees to speak the most confidential things to him. And of all of the conversations, perhaps the most famous conversation in the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita is the conversation between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is known as Ramananda Samvad. This conversation is incredible. Mahaprabhu left Jagannath Puri and decided to travel all over South India. He traveled for 2 years. He traveled 4,000 miles. And on that journey, he stopped at a place called Godavari, the river Godavari in Rajamahundri. And there, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya had already told Mahaprabhu, in South India, you will meet an amazing personality, Ramananda Rai. And don't judge him. Don't think that he's a materialistic person. Don't think that he's a pounds and shillings man because he has a post in the government. Realize he is a rasika bhakta. He is a devotee who has understood very deep things. Have a conversation with him. So they met on the banks of the Godavari and they began having a conversation. It was incredible. This conversation was incredible because number one, it was between a sannyasi and a grihastha. It was between a sannyasi and someone who was a governmental minister. Generally, that would never happen. Because Mahaprabhu said, Niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajanon Mukasya Param Param Jigamisur Bhavasagarasya. That for a sannyasi to meet a worldly minded person is more abominable than drinking poison. Mahaprabhu said, I will not meet any political people. But here, he met Ramananda Rai. The second thing that made it even more incredible, this conversation, is that they met in seclusion. They met when there was no one else around. First, you meet a politician, which is already beyond the scope of what a sannyasi should do. And then you meet in seclusion. But the thing which made this conversation even more incredible is that not only was a sannyasi meeting a grihastha, not only was it in seclusion, but in this conversation, Gauranga became the listener. And Ramananda Rai became the speaker. So everything was inverted in this conversation to make this conversation externally seem like the most strange thing. However, in this strange conversation, the most amazing things would come out. It said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took 3 initiations in his life. He took Harinam initiation from Ishwarapuri. He took Sannyas initiation from Keshav Bharati. But then some commentators say he took Raga Marg initiation from Ramananda Rai because Ramananda Rai began speaking things, deep things that made Gauranga go into ecstasy. Gauranga was telling him, speak more, speak more. And then it's explained Gauranga is like an ocean, and Ramananda Rai was like a cloud. And just as a cloud takes all of the water from the ocean and then again showers it all down back onto the ocean, Ramananda Rai said, I am the cloud and you are the ocean. I don't know what I'm speaking, but in front of you, somehow I'm speaking all of these things. And then Mahaprabhu looked at Ramananda Rai and he says very beautifully, Ami eka batul, tumi dvitiya batul, ata eva tomai amai hoyasamatul. Mahaprabhu looks at Ramananda Rai and says, Ami eka batul, I am one madman. Tumi dvitiya batul, and you are the second madman. Ata eva amai tomai hoyasamatul. Me and you are exactly the same. We are on the same wavelength. I am mad, you are mad. And when two mad people come together, then they become even more mad. And like this, they began having a conversation for 10 days. And how did that conversation begin? Mahaprabhu asked a question. What is the ultimate goal of life? You find in many shastras basically the same question being asked. In the beginning of Ramayana, what is the question being asked? What are the qualities of an ideal person? In the beginning of Bhagavatam, what is the question being asked? What is the duty of someone who is just about to die? And in the beginning of this conversation, what is the question? What is life's ultimate goal? This conversation, however, answers that question, but Ramananda Rai also delivers the deepest answer to the question by unraveling the deepest truths of rasa or divine relationship with Krishna. And therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita goes to the highest level. Krishna Tattva, Radha Tattva, Prema Tattva, Rasa Tattva. All of these things were revealed in this conversation. The truth of Krishna, the truth of Radharani, the truth of what is pure love, and the truth of Rasa, or divine relationship with Krishna. All of this was revealed in this conversation. Now, some of you may or may not be aware. Some of you on this call maybe think you have read every single book of Srila Prabhupada. But I challenge you that there is maybe one book that you have not read, because it is not even printed by our BBT, but it is a Prabhupada book. Before Prabhupada came to America, he wrote one book, and it was called In Search of Life's Ultimate Goal. Today you can go on the internet, I think you can download a PDF of that book. That book is printed in the Gaudiya Math now. But this book Srila Prabhupada wrote before he came to America, In Search of Life's Ultimate Goal. And in this book, the whole subject matter is the conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. So everyone should read this book. If you've not read this book, then you haven't read all of Srila Prabhupada's books. So Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began having this conversation. And the name of the book is In Search of Life's Ultimate Goal. Maybe Vrindavan Chandraprabhu, if you can, maybe there will be a PDF link. You can send it on the chat. Yeah, whenever you get time. What did they discuss in this conversation? Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai, what is the ultimate goal of life? So Ramananda Rai began giving different answers. And Mahaprabhu, he was not fully satisfied with every answer. And therefore he would say, Eho bhaya age kaha aar. This answer you've given, this is an external answer. Age kaho aar, say something more, say something deeper, Say something which gets to the actual essence of life. Don't just give me external things. When Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai, what's the ultimate goal of life? Ramananda Rai first replied, dharma. You have to do your dharma. Dharma svanustita pumsham. Everyone has dharma according to Varnashram. You have a dharma, you have a kula dharma, a duty to your family. You have a duty to in your job. You have a duty to your spouse. You have a duty to society. You have all these duties. And therefore, the first thing that Ramananda Rai replied when Mahaprabhu asked him, what's the goal of life? Ramananda Rai said, you have to do your duties. You have to do dharma. Because Krishna said, yada yada hi dharmasya. When adharma is gone, I come. Dharma sanstar panarthaya, to establish dharma. And therefore, the goal of life is to follow dharma. Because that's what Krishna came to establish. Mahaprabhu looks at him and says, Eho bhaya agi kahar. This is external. Say something more. No, same. Why? We shouldn't follow our dharma then? We should give up varnashram? No, not that you should give up varnashram. You should do your dharma. But don't think that doing your dharma in and of itself means perfection in life. Because Bhagavatam says, dharma svanustita pumsham vishvakshena kathashuya nodpadayed yadiratim shramma eva ikevalam. You can do your dharma perfectly, but if all of the dharma that you do does not lead to attraction for the Lord, then that dharma is considered a useless waste of time. So dharma, Mahaprabhu was not satisfied. He said, say something more. It's not just about doing your dharma. We should follow dharma, but we have to do more. So then what does Ramananda Rai say next? Yad karoshi, yad ashnashi, yad johoshi, dadashi, yad tapashyashi kondeya, tad kurushva madarpanam. First he said dharma, Mahaprabhu said more. Then the next thing he said, results. Give the results of everything you do, all of the charity you perform, all of the austerities that you do, all of the work that you do in this world, do it as an offering to me. Tat kurushva madarpanam. Do it as an offer, the results of everything. That's good. Krishna says that in the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. That seems like something nice, that you do your dharma and then you offer the results to Krishna. Eho bhaya age kahwar. No. Gauranga looked at Ramananda Rai and he said, this is still external. This is still not deep enough. It's okay, but go deeper, go further. Ramananda Rai is saying, these are Krishna's instructions I'm giving you and you're telling me, go further. Gauranga said, I know you have more to say. Say some more. Yes, you can do your dharma and offer the results to the Lord, but doing your dharma and offering your results to the Lord doesn't guarantee that all selfishness has been given up. Maybe you still have some attachment. Someone may do their dharma and offer to Krishna, two for Krishna, one for me, three for Krishna, two for me. Sakam, still some selfish motivation is there, even though you're giving to Krishna. This is not life's ultimate goal. This is good, but it's not life's ultimate goal. There's more. So then what does Ramananda Rai say next? Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam saranam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami ma sucha. Ramananda Roy said, okay, let's get serious now. Let me tell you some serious things that Krishna says in the Gita. Krishna doesn't just say dharma. Krishna doesn't just say offer your results, but Krishna ultimately says abandon. Sarva dharman parityaj, abandon everything and renounce the world and fully go towards Krishna. Mahaprabhu looks at Ramananda Rai and says, Eho bhaya, age koho ar. He said, that's external. He said, how can you say that's external? That's Krishna's ultimate instruction in Bhagavad Gita. We always say, don't we? What is the ultimate conclusion of Gita? Sarva dharman parityaja, mamekam saranam raja. Gauranga said, this is not the life's ultimate goal. There's something even deeper than this. So then one may think, can be deeper than abandoning everything and surrendering to Krishna. Gauranga said, even when you do this stage of spiritual life, renunciation is still in the forefront. But the goal of life is not for renunciation to be in the forefront. Something else has to be in the forefront, more than even renunciation. You are telling me sarva dhanaman parityaja, tyag, tyag, tyag. You are putting tyag in the front. The goal of life is not to become a tyagi. The goal of life is something more than that. So therefore, Gauranga looked at him and he said, Eho bhaya, age kaho ar, say something more. Then Ramananda Rai quoted another verse. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na sochati na kankshati samma sarveshu bhuteshu madhabhaktim labhate param. See, now you can see bhakti is coming in. Madhabhaktim labhate param. So he said, wisdom, not just renunciation, but also with renunciation. You have wisdom. Who is the Lord? Who is Supreme Soul? Who is Brahman? When you have wisdom and knowledge of who Krishna is, then not only are you walking away from the world, but through that wisdom and that knowledge and that situation of understanding Brahman, mad bhaktim labhate param, then you can do bhakti. So he said, yes, I'm telling you now, Gauranga, it's not just about renunciation, but it's about renunciation and knowledge of the absolute. And Gauranga looks at Ramananda Rai and says, Eho bhaya, age kohar, that's external. Say something even more than that. So this is incredible. First he said dharma, Mahaprabhu rejected it. Then he said offer your results, Mahaprabhu rejected it. Then he said abandon everything and surrender to Krishna, Mahaprabhu rejected it. And now he says wisdom, have knowledge of Krishna and knowingly surrender and then attain pure devotion. Mahaprabhu said this is not the goal of life. Aage kaho aur, say something more. And then Ramananda Rai quoted a verse spoken by Brahmaji, when he was making his prayers to Krishna after he became humbled by Krishna after stealing the cowherd boys and the calves and the cows. What was that verse? Jnane praya samudapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharidam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shruti gatam tanuvan mano birya prayaso jita jito pyasite strilokyam. Mahaprabhu began smiling. He says, Eho haya. Before this, he was saying, Eho bhaya. This is all external. And now when Ramananda Rai quoted this verse, he says, Eho haya, this is good. This is the actual goal of life. And what is the essence of that verse that Brahmaji says? Stane stita, It doesn't matter where you are in your life. You may be a brahmachari, you may be a grihastha, you may have this job or that job, you may live here or there or anywhere. The main thing is, Shruti Gatam Tanuvan Mano Bhir, with your mind, your words, your activities, just absorb yourself always in the consciousness of Krishna. The goal of life is Krishna consciousness. Mahaprabhu looked at Ramananda Rai. He was very happy because through this conversation, he established that the goal of spiritual life is not to follow your dharma. The goal of life is not simply to offer your results to Krishna. The goal of life is not to abandon everything and become a renunciate. The goal of life is not even wisdom and knowledge, but the goal of life is to fully surrender and saturate your consciousness in always thinking about the Lord. Tannamaru pacharitadi sukirtana nushmityo krameena rasana manasi niyojya tistan vraje tadanuragi jana nugami kalam nayat akhilamity upadesha saram. Rupa Goswami says, constantly hear, glorify, think about, become enchanted by Krishna, such that when you go to work, you're thinking of Krishna. When you're doing any activity of life, you're thinking of Krishna because you've become attracted by Krishna. And in this way, distan vraje, you're always living in Vrindavan. And in this way, Ramananda Rai revealed what is the ultimate goal of life. It's nothing external. It's not about your varnashram duty. It's not about what you offer to Krishna in terms of results. It's not about renunciation. It's not even about knowledge. It's ultimately about surrender. So if you want to remember the conversation of Gauranga and Ramananda Rai, Gauranga draws out the essence of all Gaudiya Siddhanta in this conversation. And if you remember the word draws, then you can remember D stands for Dharma, external. R stands for results. External. A stands for abandon everything, external. W stands for wisdom, external. But S stands for complete self-surrender, saturating your mind in Krishna. That is the goal. And therefore, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate. In this conversation, later on, Ramananda Rai quotes this verse, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. If you want to know where Srila Prabhupada got the term Krishna consciousness from, this is the verse. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. That one who is absorbed constantly in the mellows of divine relationship with Krishna, that person is wealthy. And who achieves that Krishna consciousness? Janma koti sukrate nalabhyate. Krishna consciousness cannot be achieved by many, many pious activities. No, janma koti sukrate. You won't do it by piety. How will you do it? Tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam. The mulyam ekalam, the one price, if you want to become Krishna conscious, is the intense greed. I must become Krishna conscious. And in this way, Gauranga, through Ramananda Rai, reveals what is life's ultimate goal. In many shastras, many, many things may be promoted. But the ultimate conclusion of all of it is just to be able to saturate one's mind in Krishna. And if one can do that, yena tena prakarena mana krishna niveshayet sarve vidhi nisheda shur etayor eva kinkara. Everything that you read about in Shastra, all the rules and regulations, they are subservient to this principle. Yena tena prakarena mana krishna niveshayet. Absorb your mind in Krishna. This is the goal. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I kind of said a few things there, and I guess I leave some time. Maybe there are some comments, questions. Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, please, if there are any corrections from your side or comments, then please do add to it. And otherwise, I'm very happy to hear from anyone else who would like to speak.
Thank you, Prabhu. You took us on the greatest of all journeys in such a short space of time. I don't know how you did it, but it was relishable. We have a few devotees raising their hands. The first is Sundar Nanda Prabhu, who has a question. Prabhu, you can unmute yourself and ask your question, please.
Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much. This is so timely. This is my topic for the discussion. I send you this. We are taking our mentees to the journey of CC. And I have taken the responsibility of the South India Yatra, and we're going to talk about Ravanand Sambhar. So it was such a wonderful revision. It's you so beautifully said, but when we come to the self-surrender or the draws, the S of the draws, so Mahaprabhu went into depth after depth after depth after depth, and ultimately not only just the love of went through all the rasas, not only through the the Shanta, the Sakya, the Vatsalya, and then eventually the Madhurya Ras, and then eventually from that, from Gopis, he went to Radharani, and then even from Radharani, he went to the depth of the relationship and that exchange. Now, I suspect the reason you stopped where you stopped is that we should not be discussing that aspect of that discussion amongst on this call, they're all devotees, but I guess that's not to be discussed in public. Is that there is a reservation there? Because I was hearing Mahatma Prabhu's lecture on the, that series from the GBC, SPT. He also stopped after an hour where you stopped. I was hearing Gaurang Prabhu's lecture last year, and he sent me a whole PDF of that lecture with 45 lessons. And he kind of went a little bit further than that, but stopped short of that. So I just want to take instructions from you as to where should we be stopping there, or should we be continuing up to that point? And obviously the last bit is that he asked many more questions after that. Mahaprabhu asked many more questions after that. What is the best thing in life, et cetera, et cetera. But that's kind of slightly a normal level.
Right. Thank you for that question, Prabhuji. I stopped there, I would say not because of that reason. I stopped there because in principle, Mahaprabhu came to the point where he accepted something. He accepted that self-surrender is the goal of life. And then after that, he was basically revealing different varieties of perfection in Dasya Bhav, in Vatsalya Bhav, in Sakya Bhav, and ultimately Madhurya Bhav, like that. So there is perfection. Jnane prayasamudapasyana mante. That's perfection. And all of the subsequent rasas that we see after that are just personifying that in their own unique relationship to Krishna. So really perfection, he brought the conversation to the level of perfection. But then what he did is through the different rasas, he outlined how that perfection can even become more and more intense and more accentuated up to the point of Madhurya Ras, which is known as Ujvala Ras, the resplendent Ras, or Shringara Ras, or, all these words are there to describe this. We can discuss such things. with Srila Prabhupada's purport, Srila Prabhupada gives us the proper understanding and the tattva behind it. And definitely, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we must understand that the love of Srimati Radharani and the gopis is the topmost type of love. This is what Mahaprabhu came to teach, as we say in that very famous verse, Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajay Satanayas Tadhama Vrindavanam. That the goal of life is to attain love. The object of love is Krishna in Vrindavan. And who are the ideal examples of pure love for Krishna in Vrindavan? Vrajavadu, the milkmaids of Braj. So we must establish that. We must establish that the love of the gopis is spotless, is unparalleled. However, what we may be reticent about discussing is the details of those exchanges, especially in public, and the nuances and subtleties of the loving rasa, which is exchanged in those pastimes, which are the apex of everything. That we may be reticent about. But in public, to establish the love of the gopis and Srimati Radharani as the topmost type of love, that is perfectly fine. But the details of how that love is expressed may be reserved for individuals who have the appropriate adhikar.
So one very quick question, Prabhu, about the spiritual identity of Ramanand Rai. So you have mentioned it to be Arjun / Lalita. Now, the Shaka. Other interesting...
I mean, sorry, there's Shaka. Differently. And differently, yeah.
So how does Arjun... How does it fit with Arjun?
Yeah, it's difficult to... like, as in you're saying, like, how can there be two identities in one like that?
And I can understand Vishakha's identity, but I can, I'm just not sure how does Arjun's identity relate with that?
Because the reason Arjun's identity comes in is because Ramananda Rai had four other brothers, isn't it? Bhavananda Rai, and then this is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Mahaprabhu once said, you five are all together just like, I mean, and then Kavi Karnapur explains they are just like the five Pandavas. And so that aspect is coming from there.
Thank you.
One commentator, he says that we can understand Ramananda Rai is Arjun and Vishakha because his initial answers were the answers that he heard from Krishna as Arjun. And his later answers were the answers that he understood as Vishakha, who was the most confidential Sakhi associate of Radharani. And in this way, his initial identity is coming out as Arjun and then it's going higher into a rasic understanding. So
that's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So, Tapa Prabhu, we've got one question, soap stroke clarification by Saroj Mataji.
Yes.
I think she's paraphrasing or trying to assimilate the conclusions that you've spoken about. She writes there, so surrendering to Krishna, constantly chanting, hearing, and glorifying, being attracted to Krishna is the goal.
Yes. Ultimately, to be absorbed in Krishna, to be captivated by the beauty and the pastimes and the name, fame, form, and qualities of Krishna, this is our ultimate goal. When we are in that consciousness, then we are living with Krishna, because Krishna is non-different from his name, fame, his qualities, his pastimes. It's mentioned in Padma Purana, Naham tistami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshuva yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tistami narada, that Krishna appears wherever there is talks of the divine, talks of Hari are going on, then Krishna comes. And therefore, if we want to be with Krishna all the time, what more could be the goal of our life than to be with Krishna? Vrindavan means that place where Krishna is the center. So wherever you are, if you are absorbed in Krishna's name, fame, forms, pastimes, then you are, Krishna is there. Then you are, it's the perfection of life. You don't need to go anywhere else. When Haridas Thakur was imprisoned and he made all of the prisoners blissful by engaging them in glorifying the Lord, and they were must have been having ecstatic Harinams in the prison cell, then they saw Haridas Thakur was a sadhu, a saint, and they came to Haridas Thakur and they said, can you give us a benediction? Please give us your blessings. What benediction can you give us? And Haridas Thakur looked at them and said, remain as you are. And they looked at him and they thought, what kind of benediction is that? We want to get out of prison. And he explained that actually, because you're absorbed in the Lord, that's the goal of life. Who knows, you may leave prison and then you may not be absorbed. So now you are absorbed in Krishna, it's already perfect. Everything else that's happening around you is just a detail. So when we get to that point in life where we're so absorbed in Krishna that everything that's going on around us, all the problems, all the difficulties, all the issues, all the different things that we're trying to mediate, all the fires that we're trying to extinguish in our life, they just become a detail because we're absorbed in Krishna and therefore it's perfect. And wherever I am, whatever's happening, that's just a detail. Therefore, Mahaprabhu said, or Brahmaji said, Stane stita shruti gatam tanu vanmano. Just stay where you are. It's all a detail. We think, if I change this in my life, it's going to change my Krishna consciousness. Sometimes there may be a case for that. A lot of the times, it won't make any difference because the real problem is our own mind. Yeah. Nayam jano me sukaduka hetur manam param karanam amananti. My mind is ultimately the cause of all my suffering. So when the mind becomes absorbed in Krishna, then everything else disappears and just becomes a detail. And so, yes, that is the goal.
Hare Krishna. Sutta Prabhu, we have another question from Surya Prabhu. Yes. I think it's connection with the verse you quoted, Krishna Rasa Bhavita. He said, you mentioned that to be Krishna conscious, we should ask, but we should not ask Krishna for anything, right? He knows everything and he will give anything what we need to do.
Yes, Krishna knows what's in your heart and ultimately Krishna will fulfill your desire. Oftentimes we pray not because we're reminding Krishna, but oftentimes we pray so that we can remind ourselves that this is my goal. Let me not become diverted. Let me not become disturbed or distracted by anything else. So one reason we pray, even though Krishna knows, is that by the prayer we can remind ourselves, right? Prayer reminds us of ourselves, of what our aspiration should be. But the other thing is that prayer is also an exhibition. It's an exhibition of love. Krishna doesn't need our prayer. He already knows. Just like Krishna doesn't need our offering. He already has it. Krishna doesn't need our glorification. He's already the most famous. However, it becomes an offering of love to pray in that way, to go to Krishna and say, Rupa Goswami goes to Krishna and he prays, Yuvatinam yatha yuni yunam cha yuvato yatha manobhiramate tadvan manome ramatam tvai. Rupa Goswami goes to Krishna and he says, just as the minds of young girls are spontaneously attracted towards young boys, and just as the minds of young boys are spontaneously attracted towards young girls, Krishna, mano bhi ramate tadvan, mano me ramatam tvai. Let my mind be as naturally drawn towards you as these things we see in the world. So one can pray like this. That's very, very nice, that Krishna, take over my mind, conquer my heart, and enchant me by your beauty. And this greed, this loba, that, no, I must have it, then you will get the mercy. One time Prabhupada was walking past the lake, and he was throwing out bread prasadam to the different ducks. And then there was one duck, and Prabhupada was throwing more bread to this one duck. And then one devotee asked Prabhupada, why are you throwing, what's so special about this duck? Prabhupada said, this duck is quacking the loudest. And so you must ask for the mercy. You must beg. You must be greedy. Not greedy that you push other people out of the way. No, no. We must also serve the Vaishnavas. Not greedy in that way to the detriment of anyone else. But in our hearts, we must say, in this life, I must get Krishna. So many lives I missed. This life I cannot miss. This life I'll do it. That greed must be there.
Thank you, Prabhu. That's very beautiful. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, you can tell me when the time is.
I'm just seeing if there's any more questions that's coming through. I think we'll take this as the last question. And if with your permission, Prabhu, I'd like to say a few words about Chaitanya Charitamrita.
And also
invite you to speak something maybe. So there's a question from Sundarananda Prabhu. And Mahaprabhu showed Ramananda Rai's original Radha Krishna form. Who else saw it and how did it get recorded?
That's interesting. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it doesn't seem as though anyone else saw it, because they were speaking in a secluded place. So I've not read anything else that anyone saw it. However, when Mahaprabhu retired to Jagannath Puri, then Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu was in the Gambira. In Jagannath Puri, Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar were both there. Now, Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar were the two personalities who would help Mahaprabhu to relish Radha Bhava. Because remember, Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Krishna Nomi Swarupam. Mahaprabhu had come in the mood of Srimati Radharani in order to understand what is her love for Krishna. So in the final years, Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar came and were with Mahaprabhu. And why were they the personalities? Because Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar, Lalita and Vishakha. And if Mahaprabhu was Radharani, then who could assist him more in relishing the moods of Radharani than Lalita and Vishakha? And therefore, Ramananda Rai was with Swarup Damodar in all of those years. And Swarup Damodar wrote his diaries, in which he recorded everything that happened in the sannyas years of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, we can only conjecture that Ramananda Rai must have revealed it to Swarup Damodar and other Vaishnavas in that area, perhaps Raghunath Das Goswami and others. And therefore, ultimately, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami got the information from Raghunath Das Goswami, who got it from Swarup Damodar. So we can only conjecture that Ramananda Rai must have revealed it, such things.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. So Sutapa Prabhu, I'll just take a few minutes. I want to show two slides or three slides, and then I'd like you to conclude with the final words. So as some of you all may or may not know, we are currently, always in this year, we celebrate Gaur Purnima by having a Gaur Purnima marathon distributing sets of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This year's theme is Be a Gardener. Sometimes we wonder, how can we show our love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sorry, I just want to stop the share just to make sure I have ticked the right boxes. Yeah, just bear with me. How can we show our love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Srila Prabhupada has expressed that very clearly in his desire that every respectable person should have a full set of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then in one beautiful lecture on the Srimad Bhagavatam in September 4th, 1972, in New Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada explained what love means. And we can look at this in the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Those who are engaged 24 hours, in which way is engaged? Bhajatam, bhajan. Those who are engaged in devotional service, what kind of devotional service? Priti purvaka, with love and affection. One who is engaged in devotional service of the Lord, in love and devotion. What is the symptom of love? Love. The symptom, the prime symptom, most important symptom of love is that the devotee wants to see that his Lord's name, fame, etc. become widespread. He wants to see that my Lord's name be known everywhere. This is love. If I love somebody, I want to see that his glories are spread all over the world. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Nacha tasmat manusyeshu kaschit me priya kirtam. Anyone who preaches his glory, nobody is dearer to him than that person.
So this Gaur Purnima, we'd want to show our love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Srila Prabhupada says. What's the symptom? The prime symptom, the most important symptom of love is the devotee wants to see his Lord's name, fame, etc. become widespread. So we want to spread the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu far and wide by distributing his glories in the form of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. If every devotee on today's call, there's 50 or maybe there were 60 at one stage, all commits to try to distribute, try just one set of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We'll consider this marathon a success. We've got just 1 week to go. Tomorrow we have a calling session. You can find out what's the procedure. We're all getting together and we're going to do remote Sankirtan, distributing Chaitanya Charitamrita. So please do join us. Please become part of this campaign. Srila Prabhupada wanted, I just was hearing the other day, the first printing of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Rameshwar Prabhu went to Srila Prabhupada, 17 volumes. Shall we print 5,000 sets? No, 20,000 sets. Prabhupada, you want it to go to everyone? Yes, everyone, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So please join us in this marathon. Thank you, Sutta Prabhu.
Yeah. I should say something?
Yeah. Yes, if you can, Prabhu, please.
Yeah, I think this is a wonderful, it's an incredible endeavor. I was also, this morning, I was listening to the whole lecture of the conversation between Vaisheshika Prabhu and Rameshwar Prabhu. And if you all have not heard that, I guess Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu can send you the link. It's absolutely incredible.
It's there.
Prabhupada was so concerned that the Chaitanya Charitamrita be published. He said 2 months and it was impossible. It was actually impossible. And that's when Prabhupada made the famous statement, impossible is the word in a fool's dictionary.
Yeah.
And maybe all of us can consider, we may think, how will I do it? Impossible. But we can do it. You know, you can find one person. We have Chaitanya Charitamrita in Gujarati now, I think, right?
Yes, we have it in 5 languages.
Yeah,
Gujarati, Hindi, Tamil, Telugu.
Wonderful. So, you know, so many opportunities, you know, just find one personality and one family, give out a set. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the hope for the world, you know. Even people may know about Radha and Krishna, but if they don't know about Gauranga, it will be very difficult to actually advance in Kali Yuga. And therefore, we must educate people about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 90% perhaps of individuals who step into Bhaktivedanta Mana don't know about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, we have this wonderful opportunity to share with them the best news ever. So yeah, my deep gratitude to Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, Divyanam Prabhu, Vrindarika Ramya Mataji, and the whole team who are just so dedicated to doing all of this and sharing these glories and these books. And yeah, my obeisances to you, and I hope that we can all assist you in whatever way we can. So please, if you don't have a set, please take a set, and please find one person in Gujarati, in Hindi, in Tamil, in English, whatever it may be. This will be the best way to celebrate Gaur Purnima.
Thank you.